C1AP. Number 22B.
The moment we come to the descending way, Mrs. Eddy somehow hasn't found enough material in order in the revelation that would really define clearly the descending way. And so she has to take in other biblical texts from Psalms and in order to define her idealism. We can see something, I think, we can say, perhaps with conviction, that the Revelator was mostly showing the step forward from Jesus of the 5,000 year period to the 6,000 year period, with a slight touch of the seventh. That slight touch of the seventh is really the depicting of the holy city. But to that holy city he gives only a chapter, I think about two chapters, not more than that. Actually, practically only the chapter 21 or so, not very much. As if also here, quantitatively, it would be shown, well, that's too far away yet, but it is an aim to where the whole development will unfold. But my job as the Revelator, says John, is to introduce really Christianity, the standpoint of scientific Christianity. That was that which engaged his thought over chapters. And we said, what is then Mrs. Eddy's office in that whole development of the spiritual idea? That there we could see that what John the Revelator indicated would come after us, after him, after the Christianity sense, would be the sense of science. And that therefore Mrs. Eddy would put most accent, the greatest accent, therefore not on Christianity, but on science, and elaborate really that city four square in its fullness. And that is what she has really done. She really has taken the 4x4 as her great foundation, whereas the Revelator has taken the 12, the 4x3, his foundation. It was always 12 and 24 and 12 and 144,000. It was always 12 and a multiple of 12 as a symbol of Christianity. Whereas he doesn't speak about the 16. That was left to Mrs. Eddy, so that Mrs. Eddy somehow was taking that whole book of Revelation and has said, if I want to describe my mission, which, so to say, John the Revelator gave her, then, she says, then I don't have only to take out of his revelation that which leads really to the city foursquare, that which is fundamental for the city foursquare. And my office and my mission in this world then is to elaborate on that city. So she had the 16 as her basis. That 16 is brought out very clearly, that her textbook as a structure is the 4x4 structure, resting on Word, Christ, Christianity, and science in their specific relationship and reflection, 4x4. And it is actually then that it was John Dorley's main mission to point out that very fact. He didn't add anything to the textbook. You know, Boston always broadcast that we think that we have a higher revelation than Mrs. Eddy. That is not true. Not at all, because we build everything on the textbook. But one can understand that they feel that way, because we can interpret in the textbook the whole system which they don't see. So for them, we actually say something which they don't see in the textbook. But it is in the textbook. I don't think that one can take John Dolly's writings or my writings and say that at a certain point we feel that Mrs. Eddy hasn't seen far enough, and that therefore an additional revelation is necessary that goes above her. What we see is that what she has given can be revealed further than just what is bluntly said in 600 pages. That one can elaborate on it, that one can embellish it, that one can bring out the structure of it. And that is something else. That's interpretation. That's not additional revelation. So I think we must be aware of what we do, and that we actually, I have never seen in John Dolly's thought or in any of his students the thought that they would say, well, you know, Mrs. Eddy, that was nice, but she actually didn't see the whole story. That is never in our mind. The only thing that we do is to bring out the inner meaning of that textbook. The question actually is, naturally, and that remains quite a question, did Mrs. Eddy see the structure of it, or was she just the revelator of it? That's a different proposition. That she was the revelator of it, that we can see, because now we can see the structure. But how far really she could herself see the structure of it, that's a question mark, which is not easy to answer bluntly by yes or no. We only have indications. We have indications like what we were reading this week, that Mrs. Eddy said that up to June 10th, 1907, she did never read her textbook consecutively in order to elucidate her idealism, because only as late as 1907 did she really change the textbook so that the textbook, that the definition of God was congruent with the structure of the textbook. So that was the first time that there was harmony between the definition of God and the presentation of the textbook structure. So that would mean that at least up to 1907 she didn't see the structure of it. Or we know that she said only 6 months before she left us that only now she begins to see what she has been writing. So she was quite honest about the fact that she was the revelator, that she was writing under the dictates of the divine mind, and she said, but I'm a student of my own book, just as anyone is a student of that book. How far she has seen the structure of it is unknown to us. But it may very well be that she has not seen the structure, or not spelled it out the way we perhaps now see it. Well, this is not belittling or narrowing Mrs. Eddy. Quite to the contrary. If somebody can make a discovery that is so fundamental that the ages afterward, the centuries afterwards, can build on it and can bring forth new vistas of it, is much a bigger revelation and discovery than if somebody discovers something that does not lend itself for unfoldment. Big discoveries are those, like Einstein, that afterwards generations can build on it and unfold it. And that's why she said at that time, in 1909, shortly before she left, that it will take about 50 years until that man will arise who will show the idealism and the structure, not the structure, but the substance of the textbook. You know that prophecy which he made, it's in Collectania. So we have to see that here Mrs. Eddy has to interpret in more detail than what the revelator was showing her idealism of the Holy City in its descending way. Therefore, in that descending way from divine science, again, she goes out from science in divine science, from principle love, we have the epitome here that divine science, love, operates through a fourfold calculus principle. Again, you have principle love, that only that love which is science, the city foursquare, operates through a fourfold calculus. How does she say that? And as she hasn't found really something in Revelation that would depict that, she has taken text from Psalms. And so we read Psalms. We go back to the Science and Health, page 575, line 22. And here you see that she quotes Psalms. As the psalmist said, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. Mount Zion was always, as we have seen, the spiritual foundation on which New Jerusalem was built. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. So here we have the psalmist talking already about that new city, about the great city on Mount Zion. You know, the town Jerusalem is built on that hill, which is called Zion. And we remember that the second scriptural note, which we had for this chapter, was saying something very similar. Also from Psalms, that scriptural note read, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. So again, you can hear at once the great tone, the great tone of principal love. So what does she say about this? And now we see that she is now demonstrating divine science, namely that city which had been revealed as the city foursquare had gates. And it was said before, we remember, that the gates of it shall not be shut all day. But there are gates, and gates were always a symbol that through the gates you can enter and go out, that there is a Christ sense there, a translating sense, which can be heaven bestowed or heaven bestowing, that has an expression. And so it depicts it like this. It is indeed a city of the Spirit, fair, royal, and square. And now, the side note is the royally divine gates. Now we see what is the office of these gates. We said this is a descending way. How can we see that it is a descending way of demonstration? You find it at once already in the verse of Psalm that I read. It said, the psalmist said on line 22, I read it again, beautiful for situation. Can you see? It's beautiful for demonstration. It's beautiful for any situation. It's beautiful for any application. This is the first time that in the story of the city that we find an indication that this city should be and can be demonstrated. It's beautiful for situation. Up to now, it has never been shown that it is beautiful situation, that it can apply, that it can be demonstrated, and which way it can be demonstrated. Here it says, beautiful situation. It is even the joy of the whole earth. It's that which will be the comforter for us. It's a joy of the whole earth with that city. The whole earth can be blessed and can be and can handle their own situation. So, how is it a joy for the whole earth? How is it beautiful for situation? What is it that acts? They are the gates, the royally divine gates. Those gates are four gates. Northward, there are 12 gates, but they are on all four sides of the city, I wanted to say. So northward, its gates open to the North Star, the Word, the polar magnet of revelation. You have typically a sense of the Word of revelation. So it shows that city, if that has been understood, if we have gone into the city and have made that city our consciousness, and then we are that city, then that divine calculus has gates. It brings in the north constantly new revelations. It begins to reveal itself to us in ever new ways. So you have a sense of demonstration that it begins to express itself in the north as the revelation. Eastward, that's the Christ eastward. Christ always came from the east. To the star seen by the wise men of the Orient, who followed it to the manger of Jesus. So you can see the Christ will always demonstrate itself and will lead us to the solution, will lead us to where the riches are, to where the real thing is. So the Christ is beautiful for situation. It leads us, it translates itself to right to that point where we see the problem solved, to the Savior. Southward to the genial tropics with the southern cross in the skies, the cross of Calvary. Get the terrific sense of Christianity, the cross of Calvary, which binds human society in solemn union. Isn't that the demonstration of Christianity, to bind society in solemn union? Huh? That's Christianity. So you have, so to say, three different ways of how that city, four square, is expressing and demonstrating itself in human life. As first of revelation, then second, that's the Christ leading us to the solution and showing us the solution. Then that solution brings up the demonstration of a higher Christianity, human society into solemn union. Westward, the West was always science, therefore it was shown that from the West came science, didn't come from the East, nor from the South, nor from the North. And science went westward. It went from the Greeks westward to Rome, to Europe, to England, to America, and perhaps it even goes more westward until it touches again the east to Japan. We don't know. Anyway, the west was always the direction of science, to the development of science, namely to the grand realization of the golden shore of love and the peaceful sea of harmony. Interesting renderings with capitalized terms, rather mystically put out. One doesn't quite know what he wants to say. One just feels somehow the atmosphere of it, that it is that golden shore. Naturally, it is showing the divine principle love. That's the science side of divine science, as if she would say that is there on that shore where the land meets the sea, where the firm foundations meet the searching unformed thought, and brings therefore the peace where no more struggles between seeking and finding, and finds the peaceful sea of harmony, which gives a sense of the harmony of principle. So she indicates here through the Psalms those four sides. Going through the gates, she says, these are the royal gates. This heavenly city, lighted by the Sun of Righteousness, again another rendering with capitalized terms, the Sun of Righteousness, this new Jerusalem, this infinite all, which to us seems hidden in the midst of remoteness, seems to us still too high. Everybody says, well, do you think I can have revelation? Do you think I will be led by the Christ to the solution? Do you think I will make the demonstration? South, do you think really I will once find the day of rest? These are, seems to be hidden away, it seems to be too high, too far-fetched. Though they are hidden in the mist of remoteness, reached St. John's vision while yet he tabernacled with mortal. Says, you see, it's still possible. It's never a vision is too high to be practical and to be touched and to be seen and understood. It's possible. Constantly we have seen, since she started out with absolute Christian Science, with the new heaven and new earth, she says, man's possibility. It's possible while we tabernacle on earth, while we are on this sense of existence, while we have not overcome yet death, it's still possible that we can have a foretaste of absolute Christian Science. Then, at that point, we have a break and we get from divine science to absolute Christian Science as science. So again, where are we in the whole development? We have come really from, in Revelation, from the Word Order to the Christ Order to the Christianity Order, and then he began to touch the Science Order with Babylon, and then the Alleluia, then worship God, and the moment they began to worship God, error disappeared, and the Revelator was leading thought up to the Word in absolute Christian Science, then to the Christ in absolute Christian Science, then to Christianity in absolute Christian Science, and then to Science in Christian Science, where Mrs. Eddy takes it up, and I saw a new earth and a new heaven, and the sea was no more. Then the Revelator took thought even higher up and showed the new Jerusalem from the point of view of divine science, as first as the Word with the wall, and then with the Christ, and then with Christianity, with the foundations, and then he showed principle love as science, namely as the city for square itself. And Mrs. Eddy interprets that city for square. That was what we did this morning. Now this afternoon, we can see that Mrs. Eddy goes out again from the divine principle love and shows through the Psalms, he shows the Word of Revelation, then the Christ, the wise men coming to the manger of Jesus, then Christianity, the Southern Cross in the sky, and then to the peaceful sea of harmony. So descending, she goes again through that divine science sense, showing really that divine science has four gates, the divinely royal gates, through which really divine science demonstrates itself. So at that point, she goes further down and comes from the divine principle love to a level of absolute Christian signs again. And the Revelator shows now absolute Christian signs first as the Word. The Revelator, not Mrs. Eddy, the Word, then the Christ, then Christianity, and then science. That's where Mrs. Eddy picks up the thought again and shows then truth and love. The Revelator shows the picture of absolute Christian science as the Word, as life, truth, and love through Sims. I wouldn't have been able to see it if John Dolly wouldn't have pointed it out. And even when he points it out, it's not really so convincingly clear as we would like to have it from my standpoint. But he shows really something very interesting, the Revelator. Namely, he starts out when it comes down from the level of divine science, comes down to the level of absolute Christian science, that he introduces that with the following point. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure. So he begins to measure. See, we said when we were taking, do you remember, chapter 11, after the book has been shown, after that chapter 11, the angel said that he was given to John a reed like unto a rod to measure the temple. And we saw there that he had to measure the temple. And he said, this is the first time we have the measuring. And measuring was always a symbol for calculating, to get the real values and calculating with the values. And that they measured the temple, but they did not measure that was without the temple. They did not measure and calculate with evil. And then he showed there the 3.5. And that in that measuring we have to go over the 3.5 to the second 3.5, and that only then the measuring would be bring a demonstration. So here again now, he's not measuring the temple, he's measuring the city, the higher sense. So he talked with me and had a golden reed to measure the city and then the gates and the walls. You can see, it was always the thing. The city, the gates, the walls, the foundation, there were always those elements that constituted really the four-sided city that constitutes science. These are the categories of being.